the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the What Are You Reading comic book show. But I'm taking a call, and it might not be a comic book show tonight. On the line, I have Rage. How are you doing, Rage?
So am I allowed to conduct my investigative journalism or what?
It depends.
So last week, you unceremoniously fired your co-host.
No, it didn't work like that, but yes, I don't have a co-host at the moment.
You don't have a co-host at the moment?
Correct.
Why did you fire your co-host?
We came to a point where we couldn't agree on a subject. And he wouldn't budge, and I wouldn't budge. And since that time, I have tried to come up with compromises, but none of it seems to work, so.
What?
Don't think I just cut him loose and then said, screw him. I have tried to make it work since then, but he's steadfast on what he wants, so this is where we at.
Particular subject that he disagree on.
Excuse me?
Particular subject that he disagree on.
What's the subject? One of the things I need him to do for the show. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And
what is one of the things he needed to do?
Most people know what it is. I'm not going to bring it up. I mean, you already know, too. I mean, you putting out videos like that are supposed to affect me in some way. Like, what did you think? I was going to watch it? Did you really think that I was going to sit home and cry? Because you don't have nothing to do with your spare time but post videos?
Here's my problem with all of this, okay?
Besides the fact that you don't have a show?
That's funny. Okay. So, here's my issue with all of this. Who are you to be... Okay. He didn't want to watch the show. So, you're telling me that you wouldn't let the man budge because he didn't want to watch a fucking show, and you unceremoniously fired him over
well,
a fucking show?
It didn't just go. See, you don't know what on behind the scenes.
Dude, I know that's the only reason.
No, listen. You don't know what on behind the scenes. It wasn't just, he just said that and I said you're out.
I have multiple sources that's the only reason.
But the only people that know what the conversation me and Jordan had is me and Jordan.
But I have it on multiple sources that's the only reason.
I like to know how multiple sources.
I haven't talked to Jordan, but I don't have, but I know.
And you also haven't talked to me.
And I have it on multiple sources that is the only goddamn reason that you decided to fire the reigning co-host.
You haven't talked to me either.
So I can't believe you, yo. Yo, you always would call.
If it makes you happy, you can change my name to the Lonely Surfer because I'm lonely now.
I wonder why.
Well,
you didn't think. You know what? Here's a rare moment where me and Double A agree on something.
Oh, that skies are falling in now.
So you didn't think to fucking find somebody to co-host for you before you decided to, again, unceremoniously fire the co-host.
So what I was supposed to do, behind his back, let him go on, and then when I find somebody new, say, well, I don't need you anymore, that's more wrong than what y'all say I did a couple weeks ago.
But you...
That would be more wrong.
But at the same time, you know what? What you shouldn't have done is fired him over a fucking show. That's what you did. You fired him because he didn't want to watch a show, and you got mad and you got butthurt.
Well,
unceremoniously
mad fired him. Did I get mad? No. Am I butthurt? Never that.
Yes, you did. Because if you weren't mad, you wouldn't have fired him. All of this wouldn't have been
there's done.
Had you just let the man live and
there is no anger in this whole thing. I'm not, listen.
Your entire show does not stem around one fucking show. One singular topic.
First of all,
it does not revolve
you keep trying to tell me
God.
I got mad. I didn't get mad. How would you know how I felt? You wasn't part of our conversation.
Because if you weren't mad, you wouldn't have fired him.
No, it has nothing to do with anger. It has nothing to do with anger.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not. See, unlike you, I don't.
It's a damn shame.
I don't make decisions on an emotional level.
Yes, see,
you did. No. I'm not young. I've controlled my emotions a long time ago. Something I've tried to convey to you that you need to get your emotions under control. You'd be better off.
My emotions are far beyond control.
No, they're not.
You need to get your priorities straight.
No, they're not. Your emotions are not under control. Listen, Rage. I've talked to you off air. I've talked to you in person. This is. I know the real you. So, and I'm not trying to come at you by saying that.
The me that's on the air is the me off the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, see, you know what? If I brought in everybody that met you in person, they will all say the same thing. You are not the same person in person than you are on the air.
You caught me on that day. You caught me on a bad day because motherfuckers at work was fucking with me.
All right. I know somebody who we could get him on the air right now. He would corroborate what I'm saying. If Phil's out there and he's listening, he call in. I guarantee he would tell you the same thing I'm telling you. You are not the same person in person than you are on air.
You know what? I probably am a little bit different around Phil. You want to know why?
You scared of
him. You're an asshole.
You're afraid to get he gonna whip your ass.
Mm-hmm. You are such an asshole. What does this have to do with fear?
You're young and dumb and you're fearful. And I understand.
Phil is about as close to a father figure that I needed.
Then how come you don't listen to him?
I do listen to
him. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Because if you listen to him, half the things you do, you would not do.
I do fucking listen to him.
All right, but you listen, but you taking it.
I don't listen to your half-witted.
Do you comprehend?
Doesn't mean I don't listen to everybody else. I listen to Phil. I listen to Lee.
Do you comprehend what they're saying?
I sometimes listen to Double A, and sometimes, you know, your advice is just shit.
Do you comprehend what people are saying to you?
But we're totally getting off the point here.
What have I ever said to you that's shit?
I am trying to conduct an investigative report. Stop.
And what is the purpose of that? Is that to embarrass me? Is that to embarrass me?
My investigative report is on.
And they're like, who are you working
always,
for?
You don't always want to call me stupid.
Yet who are you working for? You doing an investigative
report on this network?
Who are you working for? You doing an investigative report? Who's this report for?
I'm working for me, myself, and I.
And what are you going to do with this information?
I'm going to use it for myself alone.
And how is that going to improve your life?
It is going to improve my life dramatically.
Tell me how. Tell us all how. We're all listening. Tell us how.
You don't need to know.
So it's a secret. It's a secret.
It's just going to improve. It's already improved. The last 3 weeks of us, of you showing how dumbassery can be has been totally. It has made such an impact.
I could shoot myself in the foot, and I still wouldn't have done half the dumb things you have done.
Motherfucker, you don't know how to. Yo, you don't know how to set up a damn fantasy league, right? At least when I did it, I didn't fucking.
Wait. Nobody played your. Nobody played your fantasy league.
I didn't fire my co-host because someone doesn't want to watch a fucking show.
Are you losing sleep over that? Do you really care about the man? Or you this is just. Right, or you just came on here because you thought you could dig at me and try to make me feel bad.
You know, all that shit you were talking on the rant, that bullshit. None of us care about. Yeah, I care a lot about Jordan.
Yeah,
me and Jordan. Every now and then we talk on Facebook about different shit.
But what do you know about him?
Me and him, we have a love for the show Archer. We talk about different shit. So how the hell well,
how
do
much,
you make
how
such
much
an
you know about him personally?
Nobody. How do you explain this? How do you make an assumption that nobody on this network cares or likes Jordan? How do you make that assumption?
Yeah, y'all talk to him, but y'all don't really talk to him. And I hope.
What? Well, look, dude. First of all, Jordan is a busy dude.
Rage.
We talk to him when he's available, just like he talks to us when we're available.
Well, Rage, period. I hope you become real close friends with him.
You're making it sound like we're supposed to talk 24/7, 365.
No, but.
That's exactly what you said.
You act like you are so concerned about him, and this is just a joke to you. And this whole thing's a joke to you. Yeah.
It ain't a joke. This is not a joke.
Yes, it is. It's been a joke from the beginning.
This is you showing your ass.
You came on here laughing because it's a joke to you.
You want to know why?
And you think you thought you had an opportunity to come at me. But
you want
to
know why I'm laughing?
Does it make you feel like a man? Do you feel bigger now?
I'm laughing because I'm not the stupid one on the network.
Has your little dick gotten any bigger since because of this?
That's why I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I am no longer the stupid one on the network.
Are you? Does this get you hard? you could never. You can never be replaced as the stupid one.
Yeah. Right. Ask everyone in the chat room who's the stupid one on the network.
If I was you, I would sue the Newark school system for cheating you out of...
You know what? I'm going to take a poll right now.
If I were you, I would sue the Newark school system for cheating you out of education.
Because
they passed you along without properly training you for life.
Are you looking for a new co-host or not?
Yes, but I'm not going to.
Have you found candidates?
It's not a thing I'm going to force.
Have you found any candidates?
It doesn't work that way.
What are the requirements of being the co-host?
Well, you got to know you got to have a knowledge of comic books. You have to be up to current, up to what you read, and you got to be willing to. Watch some of these shows.
Watch some of the shows.
Yes.
Watch some of the shows or watch the shows that you want them to watch.
Watch the shows that are pretty popular, whether you believe it or not.
I can't fucking...
Of course you don't. Feeble minds have trouble comprehending.
Whether the show's popular, whether they like it or not. It doesn't matter, okay, whether it's popular or not, people don't always have to watch what you fucking watch, period. See, we don't, nobody on this network. Rage. I'm pretty sure that you, everybody on this network. Rage. Listen,
let me ask you something. Did you try to come to me off air and ask me what was going on? No, you thought you would come on air and try to embarrass me. And you can't. You couldn't. You couldn't listen. You couldn't embarrass me if I came out in public covered in shit. You still couldn't embarrass me.
Goddamn.
You still wouldn't have the capability of embarrassing me.
Dude, you have embarrassed yourself.
No, I have not.
Badly over the last few weeks.
No, I haven't. Because I'm not going around making this a big deal. You know, I let people on air know last week.
You made a big deal out of the words that you used. Mm-hmm. That's how you made a big deal.
Yeah, words that you don't comprehend.
Words that I can't comprehend.
You bitch about the fantasy football league. You was 3-0 last week. You wouldn't have been 3-0 if you'd have picked your team. You'd have been losing.
How the fuck do you know that?
Because you picked a lousy team. You know it.
I didn't pick a lousy team.
You got a better team than you would ever picked.
I picked a fucking great-ass team. Mm-hmm. I know I had two damn good quarterbacks.
How you doing this week?
Than motherfucking Ryan Tannehill and Dak Prescott. I know that much.
How you doing this week?
I don't know. If last I checked, I'm down a little bit to Will.
Will Morgan, your old boss, whipping your ass.
My old boss? I kicked his ass a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Why are you trying to diverge from the fucking topic?
I get it now. I see where the pain comes in that. Because you got fired off the wrestling call-in show, it brings up old wounds. I get it now.
No, it doesn't.
I understand.
No, it doesn't.
Brother, I'm here for you. This has been therapy for you. I get it.
Oh, this ain't no therapy.
Yes,
this ain't no therapy.
Yes, it is. What's the point?
This is not a fucking intervention of rage show. This is not, I know.
It's deep.
Investigative report on the complete.
It's deep wounds that I don't. You know how it feels, and now you feel like you have a kinship to Jordan. Brother.
I just want to know who the fuck are you to be telling people what to watch. That's all I want to know.
I wish you could talk to me off the air. I'm here for you.
I just want to know who the fuck are you to be trying to force people what to watch.
You need it, man. You need the help.
Who are you?
You need intervention.
Answer my question. Who the fuck are you to be telling people what they need to watch?
Listen.
I don't care if you're the host. Okay. I don't care if you're the president. I don't care if you're God or whatever. Who the fuck are you to be telling people what to watch?
What you don't. Seem to miss it, don't understand.
Dude doesn't want to watch Surfer. He doesn't want to fucking watch Surfer.
Here's what you failed at.
He doesn't want to watch Gotham. He don't need to watch Gotham.
Okay, can I tell you what you're failing to understand?
What?
Jordan is his own person.
Yes, he is.
He told me he didn't want to watch it. That is fine. Yeah, I'm not upset about that, but.
But you fired him.
Because I need him to watch it. If you don't want to watch it, then that's fine.
Why does he need to watch it?
That's part of this show. Do you not understand that?
But the show does not cover just Gotham. It covers a wide range of topics in the pop culture world. Comics, TV, movies, all of that. It doesn't just cover one singular show. Did you watch Gotham show?
And in my many conversations with Jordan, explained to him what was going on. Which you don't have no privy to our conversation. So anybody else is telling you anything else, they're getting it second hand. So which means you're getting it third hand. So you're third in line.
Whatever.
You're in the back of the line.
Did you apologize to Jordan or not?
What's there to apologize for?
You need to apologize for being an absolute dick to the co-host of the year.
Being a what now?
You need to apologize for being a dick to the reigning Rant EM Radio co-host of the year.
How about you suck my dick? He doesn't have to apologize to me. I don't have to apologize to him.
Swear to God, you're really showing your ass, yo. You're terrible.
Yeah, that's what you would think. How much longer is this conversation going to go on before I can get to my show?
I am done with your dumbass. You dismissed. Bye.
You see, people, this is what I have to put up with. This is the ignorance I have to put up with on a daily basis with this man. Now, this is a rare time. This show's going to devolve into something like this. I told him that he wanted to have it out. He could call first thing, and we could have it out. Now, whatever he got out of this, he'll take that home and whack off to it, and he'll be proud because that's the closest thing he gets to sexual satisfaction. I understand that. So that's cool. And I'm glad I could help him. You know, Rage, you my boy. You know, you hate me because I missed Phil's call. Let me see if I can bring him back in. Unbelievable. Now, don't worry. I'm going to get into some comic book talk.
Yo.
Phil, friend, I'm sorry for dragging you into this.
No, because I made time for you today. I made time for you. I all my chores were done. I got my dinner in the oven. And I was like, let me put Surfer on. So me and the wife put Surfer on. And the first thing I hear is Ray yelling at you. Why are you guys airing your grievances out on the LA?
No. We didn't have a grievance. Because if we had our grievances, we'd be still going at it. See, he wanted to come at me about Jordan. Without knowing all the inside facts in the conversation me and Jordan had. And then, did you hear me bring up your name before you started listening?
Yeah.
Because I told Rage, people that met him knows that he acts different when you meet him in person than he does in the air. Oh, no, I don't. Now, I know if anybody would corroborate what I'm saying, it'd be you. Because you've hang with the man.
I opened my feet up to listen to you talk about amazing things that have been going on this past weekend between Netflix.
I'm ready to
and
get
some
into
books
it.
That came out.
I'm ready to get into it. I
don't want you guys beefing on me. That's what I'm saying. I don't care. You know, you got enough going on. Okay, I'm gonna be the mediator here. I'm gonna be like, cut it out. Because I want you to. You know, it's bad enough you by yourself now. It's bad enough you and Jordan no more.
I'm the lonely surfer.
Right, you're the lone surfer, so loan yourself away from the nonsense, and let's hear some comic book talk before I get really mad.
Listen, I figure we can purge this out of the system now, so we can get back to work.
But you called him out on Tuesday. Did you not think he wasn't going to
call today? No, see, what happened was he called last week in the middle of the show, and he wanted to do that then, and I had already started. So I said, look, Rage, if you want to do this, call next week at the beginning of the show, and we can do this. So that way, I'm not interrupting what I'm talking about, and then I can get that out of the way. So he kept his word. He did it. And I wanted to make sure that he was going to do it then and not call me 10, 15 minutes in. And then I had to either ignore him or tell him, no, I'm not doing it. Because then he'd think I'm trying to back away from it.
Now, as the elder statesman, you need to take control of this nonsense. That's all I'm saying. All right? I'm going to, you know, do that.
Okay.
So, anyway, all right, listen, before I go, I just want you to let you know that I binge-watched Luke Cage for the last...
Well, I'm going to get into it. It won't be a spoiler episode, but...
No. I just want to tell you how brilliant it was.
Yeah, hey, listen. I tell you what, I'll call you back if you want, and when I get into that conversation, and I'll get your input on it.
All right, call me back. Go do your thing, and stop your... And no more calling into the shows and beefing. I don't want to hear no more.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Phil Ray, everybody, from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can listen to him every Friday live at 9 p.m. And if you listen to him, you'll learn yourself something.
Cheap plug. All right. Give me a call later on.
All right.
Ciao.
Peace out. If you're still stuck around in the chat room or you called a friend because of the fireworks, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking around. Now, on to our culture show. About comic books, because that's what we're here for. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm going to talk about some news and some reviews and take your phone calls and let you talk about comic books, because that's what this show is really about. It's about you calling in and talking about the books you've read on a... Oh, we got a caller now. On a weekly or monthly basis, whether it's trade or floppies or, you know, digital. Caller, who's this?
This is Dr. Doom.
Doctor!
I have a little gripe with you. Not about Jordan. It's about, you said that you were a dictator of my country.
Oh. Yeah, I did. I did overstep myself. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because that, that have your I was
we could work together to take over the world.
I was talking to Tony C. And yeah. He was calling me a dictator, so I thought of the first country I could think of.
From one dictator to another, hey, we could work together, but that's my country.
No, you're right. I overstepped my authority in bounds, so.
But I'm going to call in a little bit later when you start talking about Luke Cage.
You got it.
All right.
Now, if you want to call in, just like Dr. Doom did and Phil and even that No Good Rage, who's still a friend of mine, you can call me on Skype. Just add me as a friend, SilverSurfer_forever. If you're listening, you can listen here live at the network, Brent EM Radio. We also on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iTunes. Did I say iTunes already? So plenty of ways of listening. And then I have not done this in a while, but I also have on Blog Talk Radio. I have to start updating the Blog Talk feed. If you want a condensed version of the show. And so I got to work on that in the next couple of weeks. No box office to report this week. Everything has basically fell out the top 10. Suicide Squad is no longer in the top 10. And then it's almost close to what Batman v Superman has made. And, you know, a lot of people, some people liked it, some people did not. Well, I'll do the TV shows and then get to the Luke Cage review. Start with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., second episode of the season, dealing with Ghost Rider. But the main thing is, we met the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because Phil Coulson felt he wasn't the person to run S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. Especially since with everything that went on with Captain America Civil War and Sokovia Accords, S.H.I.E.L.D. can't be like this secret organization anymore. So it has to be, you know, done in the light. And so now they have to say, yeah, we have a S.H.I.E.L.D. But Phil Coulson thought he wasn't the one to be the head and face of this company. I'm saying company. Of S.H.I.E.L.D. while the public knows about it. So a new person was brought in, and it turns out this person is inhuman, but he already seemed like he has some agenda. Now he's trying to bring in like senators and stuff and give them the tour and make it seem like it's like a museum of some kind, like giving them all these PR tours to people. But when Melinda May has some kind of problems where she's hallucinating in sorts, he kind of took her away, and he's telling Phil, don't worry about it, you're too close to this. So she's being shipped off somewhere, you don't know where she's at. Meanwhile, Daisy is searching for the Ghost Rider and finds Robbie Reyes at his place of business, and she's trying to convince him to not hurt people and trying to figure him out. And he doesn't want to be bothered because he's afraid that if people find out, then it's just trouble for him and his little brother. And they get into a little squabble. Of course, at some point they team up because there's a bigger issue going on. It has to do with some people that was trapped in some kind of box, and they're like corporeal spirits now, and they're like a real danger, and they almost killed Mac and a couple other agents, but Ghost Rider showed up to stop them, and Daisy was tagging along. So far the series is off to a slow start, except for the Ghost Rider stuff, and I'm impressed with the effects of Ghost Rider, but I don't know how long Ghost Rider is going to be a part of this season, whether it's only half a season or the full season, and what kind of overarching story arch they're trying to convey with this. Now, apparently something's going to go down with this new director. I don't know if he's part of Hydra or something worse. You know, it's always always some evil lurking with S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's always right under their noses. Always under their nose. That's always been the problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s trying to do good in the world, but it's just always corrupted by the wrong people and the wrong groups with bad agendas. Now, getting to the show that's the most controversy, that's making me a hated man in this universe, Gotham. In second episode, we find the police is looking for Fish Mooney, because she has all these freaks that Hugo Strange has unwillingly unleashed onto Gotham, and she's used them to full effect. The Penguin is trying to convince the good people of Gotham that the police is not going to help them, and that they need to band together themselves to take out Fish Mooney. And, you know, if you've kept up with Gotham, the Penguin and Fish Mooney, they can't stand each other, because the Penguin worked for Fish Mooney, and he always had that ambition to overtake her. And when he did, and thought he killed her, and he did kill her, actually, you know, he became the Penguin that you know, this crime boss who's been in and out of Arkham and prison and all kinds of stuff, and even been brainwashed. Gordon's trying to bring in Fish Mooney before the police do, because he want to collect that bounty. But he got a reporter who's on his ass, trying to get the scoop and trying to use him to get to what's going on in Gotham. And there's a little love tension going on between them. And Gordon's a free man now, because he thinks that his woman is with another man, after he tried to go get her in the first episode, and only to find her drinking coffee with some new guy, laughing. So he's moved on. But she showed up at the end of Gotham, so that's going to make things complicated in that little love triangle. So Fish Mooney's almost cornered a couple times by Gordon, but because of her powers, she gets out. But by using her powers, she is killing herself. So she's trying to find a way to cure herself so she can keep her powers and keep her control and not die. And she goes after Miss Peabody, who was Hugo Strange's assistant. She doesn't help. She's killed. Then she gets her hands on Hugo Strange herself, and she gets away with him. But the Penguin almost takes her down, and he's like, you know, you could have killed me when you had the chance. This was at the end of last season. Why didn't you? And she's like, because you are my creation, and I couldn't let anything happen to you. And the Penguin turned into a little weakling and let her go. And so she got away with Hugo Strange, and now the Mad Hatter's showing up. So now he's going to be the focus of maybe the next couple episodes of Gotham. And that's your hated Gotham report for this week, people. Man, I wish I had a co-host that would have gave his hated opinion of Gotham, because that's what I miss about my co-host. He used to hate that show and added entertainment. But it is what it is. All right, so we're going to get into the new Netflix series that came out this Friday. Luke Cage, the third series from Marvel and Netflix. We've had two seasons of Daredevil and one season of Jessica Jones. And this is the next series, Luke Cage. We got two more series to go. We got Iron Fist at some point, and then all of those characters will come together and form the Defenders. And we're also starting to get some spinoffs. They're talking about doing a Punisher series, because the Punisher was well received in season two of Daredevil. Now, if you've seen it and you want to comment on it, this is not going to be a spoiler portion. This is not going to be a spoiler review on Daredevil, because I know a lot of people haven't had a chance to binge watch it, and some people just want to watch it a little bit at a time. And, you know, at some point I'm going to do a spoiler review, but now's not that time. So if you want to join me on Skype at Silver Surfer _forever. And I promised Phil I was going to bring him back on, and already got another caller.
So, Doom.
Yeah, I got Doom. Let me find Phil. Fill it. From Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Add him to the call. Yeah, man. I was on that from the moment I woke up. I was watching Luke Cage.
Hello.
Phil, we ready to do that Luke Cage? Now, we're not going to be spoiling it for the most part. You know, if something slips.
No, I don't want to spoil it. I just want to say how I don't want to use the word amazing. That word's used a lot, dude, when we talk about shows like this. It was well done. Like, if you're a fan of the book, I know you were a fan of the book growing up in the 70s and 80s, as well as I was.
Oh, yeah, Sweet Christmas, man.
What's that?
Sweet Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, as an older guy, you know, it was so much like the book. The attitude, the characters, the support. I mean, it was so good. It was so well done. And the fact that every episode is named after a Gangstar song, it's even better. For me, anyway, because I'm an old hip-hop head, so. So. All
right, what you got to say?
So far for me, I'm really loving the villains.
Have you watched the whole thing, or are you still getting through it?
What'd you say?
Excuse me. Are you done watching it, or are you still watching it?
I'm on episode 8. I'm just trying to do a slow burn and not, you know.
Yeah, I tried that. It works either way. Whether you,
I couldn't
watch it back to back, or I mean, because I will say, like, the cliffhangers at the end of each episode are pretty well done. So if you was watching this week after week, you'd be like, man, I can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah.
You know what's cool too, and you know, Surfer, we talked about this too on a couple of the other shows. How when you emotionally invest in some of these characters in these series, like I was emotionally invested into Kingpin with Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I'm emotionally invested in more than one character in this series. Like I'm emotionally invested in the hot nurse from Daredevil, Rosario Dawson. I'm invested in her mom. I was invested in Pops, right? Like you emotionally, because the supporting cast is so good, and he's really good, man. Like
that's what makes these Netflix shows work so well. It's not just like the, you know, top stars are well casted. They're like they well cast throughout the series.
Yeah.
So the smallest guy, you know, make an impact, even if you're on just for one episode. Who washing dishes?
Yeah, it was well done. I mean, you know,
like that. Sorry, Phil.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I like the fact that to me they do a better job of integrating the Marvel universe than the TV series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You know what? I only watched the first season, so I haven't invested any time in that show. But I can see the comparison and the message in this show, like it's in your face, like it feels like a 70s like exploitation rally movie, you know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for the Black Panthers to come out and bum rush somebody, you know?
Well,
I told Scott I wanted to go to Harlem, take the one and the three up to Harlem, man, take care of some business.
Well,
let
me give the people here listening, you know,
what's that
about the show? Let me talk to the people listening about the show real quick, and then we can get back to just a little quick about how good it is. Luke Cage, character made in the 70s when blaxploitation was very popular, and Marvel wanted to get on that trend, so they created this character. And you know, his story is he was a man who went to jail, he was innocent. And in jail, they took advantage of him. They experimented on him. The experiment kind of went wrong. It made him to the person he is. It made him super strong, super vulnerable, bulletproof skin, very strong. And then, you know, he escaped through jail because everybody thought he was dead. So his real name is Carl Lucas, but he changed his name to Luke Cage. And so, you know, he uses abilities to help people. You know, you got a little money, you need a little problem taken care of, he did it for you. That's where the heroes for hire come from. But you know, in the '70s, it was all about fighting the villains. So, at some point, he started fighting a lot of villains, and then because also the karate moves were popular in the '70s, he teamed it up with Iron Fist, and that book just blew up at that point. Power Man and Iron Fist, and it just like it's peanut butter and jelly. And so Luke Cage, he kind of went away in the '80s and wasn't being used, and then he got brought back in the '90s for a little bit. And you know, they changed his look because that whole yellow shirt and the tiara and the bracelets, that just didn't work in the modern day. So they changed him up. He came back for a little bit, then he went away until like the early 2000s, where Brian Bendis put him on the Avengers and made him an A-list character again. And since then, he's just been blowing up. And so when Marvel came up with the idea of the Netflix deal, he you know, he was right for it. And, you know, it was a question of who they was going to cast to play Luke Cage. But we got a taste of him in Jessica Jones, where, you know, they cast Mike Coulter in the role. And you can't argue with him if you watched him in Jessica Jones. He played the role to a T, so made sense that he was going to knock it out the park in this series.
Yeah.
And so they brought in some characters from his books. Misty Knight, who was a police officer, she eventually becomes a part of the Heroes for Hire and the Daughters of the Dragon. She's
speaking
playing
of, huh? Speaking of Misty Knight, boy, she got a body on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, for an older chick too. They casted it well.
She was another '70s creation, and yeah. She was played by Simone Mystic. I think I got that name right.
Yeah.
Alfred Woodard plays one of his nemesis, Black Mariah. Now, in the books, Black Mariah is a lot heavier, but that doesn't matter if you get the right person to play her.
Is that Cottonmouth, right?
We say?
Said, is that the guy that plays Cottonmouth?
No, Alfre Woodard. She was the cousin who was Black Mariah.
Oh, yeah, the big girl. Yeah.
Right. And you mentioned Cottonmouth. And he was played by, was it Mishtek Ali? You might have seen him on House of Cards. And if you watch Twilight, he's in Twilight. And there's a few other criminals they cast for Luke Cage to go up against. Theo Rossi plays Herman Shades, and they brought back Rosario Dawson. Now she's kind of like the link between all these Netflix shows. She plays.
It was another link, if you caught it, was the guy that turned that one guy in. He was that guy from Daredevil.
Yeah, but he wasn't in Jessica Jones, where she's been in all these series. She plays Claire Temple. She's more like the night nurse of this series. And she's finding herself helping these heroes and reluctant heroes when they are, you know, jacked up and need to be healed. Because, you know, you're a superhero. You can't just go into the regular hospital and get repaired. Nobody's doing that without finding out who you are. And the thing about this is, okay, what makes this show real good is it's kind of steeped in
reality.
Black exploitation. But the problem with the old black exploitations of the 70s and even the hood movies of like the late 80s, early 90s, they started off with like a movie like Shaft, where it's about the person cleaning up the ghetto. But then they slowly evolved to focusing. Man, what is that noise? It's, you know, they slowly started focusing on like the criminals and the crime, and so these movies evolved into like real negative, like real quick, and that's what blaxploitations turned into in the 70s, which is why a lot of them is no good, other than of course the way they was filmed. Same thing with the hood movies.
But sir, if you have to agree though, the elements of the show, those exploitation elements alone, not giving not giving a full blown dedication to that genre, little drips and drabs of it in current time is brilliant on that
point. Right. Just give me a second. I got a point to this. Then, like with the hood movies of the 80s and 90s, it's like they started off like you had Boys in the Hood, and it was about, you know, these friends who you could see the difference of their path in life with having a man in one guy's life compared to his friends. But then it slowly evolved into all about the gang members and the shoot 'em ups and the drugs, and then they became terrible. But with this show, it does have that black solicitation feel, but it's not about the negative part. It's more of a it focuses on Luke Cage. It's not about what he's going up against. It's not glamorizing crime and violence, but it's not hiding from the fact that this takes place. Now, if you look at the scenery, and this is all filled in Harlem. This is not like where everything's all run down. You see like beautiful city blocks and regular people walking through, and Luke Cage is walking through like a regular person. And he, you know, slowly through the series, he becomes part of the community because he's helping people. And even though these criminal elements, you know, they're trying to take over, he's stopping it. And it's not all about the gangsters. It's not about just people being shot up in the middle of the street and then all this violence, because that's not what this is about. It's not, like I said, it's not hiding from it, but it's not about it. It's about, you know, you got a guy.
Hello?
He wants to do what's right. He's reluctant to do it, but once he gets on that path of doing what's right, he's going to do what's right. And he's like unshakable in his beliefs and what he believes in. Any thoughts from you two guys?
Nah, sound pretty good.
So,
yo,
I'm hearing a lot of porn. You drinking a lot, Phil?
Nah. I'm actually about to hop off. I gotta cook dinner and make some beer. So.
Oh, okay.
But I'll catch on chat room.
Okay, no problem.
Alright, no problem.
Alright, so it's 13 episodes like all the Netflix series. And you know, one of the things I liked is you would think somebody who's invulnerable, it'd just be too easy for him. But no, it's more than that. It's like they find a way to make it difficult for him at the right appropriate time in the series. And if you start this thinking it's going to be action packed from the beginning, that's not what you're going to get. First two episodes is more setup. You know,
they set it up well without giving spoilers, obviously.
Right.
To people who haven't seen all of it. But, you know, you right away, within three episodes, you're invested. That's why I couldn't stop watching Friday afternoon.
Now, there's a character named Pops, and he runs a barbershop, and you get into his little backstory, and in this barbershop, there's a chess setup. Now, I found that particularly peculiar, because all the barbershops I go to, it's usually guys playing checkers, never really chess. Not to say that people don't play chess in barbershops, but you know, it's to tell you they're setting up the pieces for this competition.
Most barbershops when I was a kid either had a chessboard or a domino set. Guys play dominoes. I grew up in a very Latino area too for a little while, so like. It was either or. And then as it got older, it was like, you know, big screen TVs and, you know, video games and stuff like that. So,
and you know, the it's all shot authentically. It's not like it's done on some, like, they're not saying this is Harlem, yet they're often another part of the country filming a scene or two. You like, listen,
some of the warehouse scenes are a bit fake. Harlem's not that. I mean, Harlem's a nice area in uptown Manhattan. It's not as big. That's another thing I love about the series. They make Harlem bigger than what it really is, in stature. You know what I'm saying? Like, they make Harlem feel like this mega city, you know? And it really isn't. It's a couple, not even a couple of miles, you know what I'm saying? It's not that big, Harlem. So, it's well done.
And, well done. Like, listen, I'm not from New York, but I've been to New York. I recognize some of the things that I've seen when I've come through New York from the few times I have. And I know you've probably recognized more scenery than me, Phil.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. But, you know, it's not riddled with just foul language. There's a little sex. But the language is, it's contained. It's not just there to be there.
They even contain it in one of the scenes where the music was part of the scene. It was a Wu-Tang Clan song. I won't ruin it for anybody, but, you know, they even cut the curse words out of the chorus.
Right.
So they do a good job of doing that, too.
And it's a modern-day tale. You know, you see celebrities that you would normally see in Harlem. That's where they live. And I you know what, Phil? I had somebody message me, said they thought it sucked. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, it's no talking to you. You lose points in my book. And so there's always gonna be somebody who's gonna look at these shows and say, oh no, this is no good.
But you know, too, I read a lot of people I have friends online who are young, a lot younger than we are, and they don't like it. They're 3 or 4 episodes in, they don't like it.
What? Because it's not getting to the action fast enough for them?
Yeah, I think that's too. And I also think that people who read the story, not that you have to read the story, obviously, but now we're talking like on a geek side, like you and I, let's say, we know the story, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you read the story, I think you would appreciate the show more, and you would wait for whatever you're lacking. Like, if it's the action, if it's the dialogue, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that makes any sense,
mm-hmm.
you know, like people like, well, I know people who've never read Daredevil and loved it, or I know people who've never read Jessica Jones and loved it. You know what I'm saying? But I think with this one particularly, because of the time period it came out in, and the renaissance it's had in the last couple of years in Marvel, I think if you read the story, you would definitely appreciate the series more better.
Now, some of the key episodes, like episode 4 is where you get his origin story.
Yeah.
And like I said, back in the day in the 70s when he first created, you know, he had the yellow shirt and the tiara. And they give you that for a minute. And man, I thought it was perfect. And he looked cool. It did like. I wouldn't have mind if he went through a whole episode dressed like that, but you know, they did it for the throwback and then moved on. And then you find out, like, Cottonmouth, one of the villains that he's dealing with, but there's a bigger villain in Diamondback that he's dealing with near the end of the series. So they find a way to up it, the danger to him and those around him. Because it would have been easy just that he's just swatting everything away from him because he's invulnerable, but they found a way to up the danger to him. And you know, there's a point where if you was watching this like week after week, you think maybe brother wasn't going to make it at one point, and it was real. Let's listen. If you don't want to give this series a chance, and you think after a couple episodes it's boring, then you are not giving yourself a chance of seeing something truly amazing.
Yeah, Marvel, Netflix is doing these heroes a justice, man. Like, these are like the unsung people, man. I for me, these were the first books I read as a kid. You know, Power Man and Iron Fist, and you know, Daredevil, and like, these are the first books I read. The Avengers, Spider Man, like, these are the first books I read as a fan. For me, this is like a renaissance for me, man. This is like a nostalgia thing, no doubt. You know,
they give you a complete story about Luke Cage and his journey through this series. They give you a complete story about Black Mariah and her journey through the story. It gives you a complete story about Misty Knight and her journey through the story. And, like, the villains, they're not just, like, the villains get developed enough.
And, sir, without spoiling it, even some of the crossover characters, they were crossover villains.
Oh, yeah.
Like the one dude was a Tech or Trek, whatever the hell his name was.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Daredevil.
Yeah, well, you know, he said, I'm going back to Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. And then the nurse, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, she, like I said, Claire Temple, she's going to be in everything. So that's her role.
But the crossover element for me as a fan, for you as a fan, like, that's for us, that for the geek, that's like, it's amazing to see that on screen, man.
And that, like, they met in Jessica Jones, so they know each other. They have a little history there.
Yeah. You know, you're going to see a Doctor Strange. You're probably going to get a Defenders show. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be dope, you know? So, yeah, I really enjoyed it, man. I really enjoyed it, and I might even watch it again.
So far, I have not watched it completely over again, but I've, you know, gone back and watched, like, scenes from different episodes that I thought was, like...
Yeah, I finished at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. So.
Top notch.
Yeah, it's great.
People, if you don't want to take my word for it, just give it a try. And
yeah.
And, like, if you skip Daredevil and Jessica Jones, if you get a chance, watch them too. I mean, now here's the difference between them all. Daredevil was more the action packed series, with Jessica Jones, that was more of a darker, normalized series. This is more of a violent series than the rest of them. And it's not just violence for the sake of violence, but the violence makes sense. You know, when you got villains trying to run Harlem, they running amok. Someone, you know, you got to have your hero come give them the beat down. And that's what you got in Luke Cage.
Listen, sir, I got a jet, man. Dinner's about to get served, so
okay.
Let me head off.
You know, you're always welcome. And anybody listening, you're always welcome to call in too, because that's what the show's about. It's about taking your calls. That was Phil Rayer from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. So that's my thoughts on I'd say Daredevil. Now let me stop the music. No, stop. Thank you. Luke Cage. Now, maybe at some point I'll do a more spoiler, in-depth spoiler review in the future. And just see what's going on in the chat room here. Stanley Kubert, hissy fit lives matters. Yeah, Stanley, I don't know what you're talking about. So there's 2 JCs. Marvel answered to the Mod Squad, yeah. Well, let's see. 6 users in the chat room, more listening. Appreciate y'all supporting me in this lonely Sunday. Word on the street that Luke Cage is better than Jessica Jones. I like Jessica Jones apart from the villain ending. Well, listen, I don't want to get into what's better, what's not better. They're all top-notch shows for what they bring to the table. And you know, that's one of the good things about these shows. It's not like they just rinse and repeat. Like, they didn't take what they did in Daredevil and brought it to Jessica Jones. They brought a different way of storytelling to that. And then they brought a different way of storytelling to Luke Cage. That all feel authentic and natural. And, you know, all from a street perspective. Like, when you're watching these shows, like, this could happen. You could be walking down the street. You could witness these things going on. And they would feel like they fit in the real world. And that's what's part of the brilliance of these Netflix shows. Now, everybody's going to agree with that. But, oh, Little Homie's in the chat room. That was Little Homie. Hey, Little Homie, how are you? So, I don't know how far, if you're watching, I don't know how far you got into it. I know the football games are on, but, you know, I took off from work Friday to watch. And, yeah, it's outstanding. You know, listen, articles are coming up about how Quentin Tarantino wanted to do Luke Cage, and he almost had a chance to do it. And I feel like we dodged a bullet on that one, because he definitely would have made it into something more stereotypical. You either got all this jive talking, which you don't get in this. You know, you have people, normal people, talking the normal way. There's some street language, but it's not all just jive, turkey, yo, brother, yo, my man, what's going on, you know. Some people talk with Harvard degree, and some people don't. And you get all the spectrum of how people talk to each other. That's what's real about this particular show. Luke Cage, you know, he's a smart dude. He's not just the smartest guy you ever gonna meet, but he knows his shit. He knows some history. He reads. He's self-taught, and you know, don't drop no N bombs on him. And you know, you get into his history with certain characters in his childhood at some point in the series. So that's getting some news. I got the bombshell news that hit this week. I hope y'all sitting down, especially you, Stanley, because y'all know you're gonna have y'all know you're gonna flip out in the chat room once I drop this official news that came out this week. And it's about an iconic hero from DC. Wonder Woman is officially queer, always has been. Says here, this is from Inverse Online, says Wonder Woman is finally out, validating the hopes of fans who have seen the Amazon warrior as a role model for queer culture for years. Comic writer Greg Rucka, author of DC current Wonder Woman Year One title, told the world on Wednesday that Diana Prince, a.k.a. Wonder Woman, is canonically queer. The question was posed to him whether Wonder Woman expresses romantic and or sexual interest towards persons of the same gender, and Rucker replied with a simple resounding yes. While the fans have decreed the submission a huge leap forward for bisexual visibility and culture, it is not necessarily a revelation. To Rucker's credit, he admits that through our culture would consider Wonder Woman queer because she expresses sexual and romantic feelings for women in addition to men. Her backstory complicates the definition a little bit. So, are you straight dudes out there? You really got to step your game up, because you're not going to have a chance with Wonder Woman. Rage, you're never going to get with Wonder Woman. I'm telling you that now. Anyway, what do you think? You know, is that a big deal? You think they should never have made her into women? I mean, I don't see how she wouldn't be into women. She grew up in an island full of Amazon women and lived probably for hundreds of years before she ever saw a man. You know, so she had feelings or relationships with somebody. She couldn't have been the only woman walking around with like no feelings for anybody on that island. And then when Steve Trevor washes up on her shore, oh, that's for me. No, I mean, she grew into liking Steve Trevor or whatever other man. No, recently with the New 52, she, you know, had a relationship with Superman. Excuse me. And a lot of people have always saw Wonder Woman and Superman. Sorry. Wonder Woman and Superman as a thing. And didn't understand why that was always written in with the New 52, that's what they did. Because now with the rebirth, things have changed. So, but Wonder Woman, yes. She's not your mommy's and daddy's Wonder Woman anymore. She's a strong, independent woman who loves who she wants to love, whether it's man or woman. If you are man enough or woman enough to love Wonder Woman, then so be it. Oh, so beautiful. Love. Now she can get married in this new America. She can get married. Isn't that good for her? Now, I don't know. Sorry, people. when I'm getting over a cold, asthma and a cough is the worst. I don't know how many violent fans are there, but there's a first look at a live action Bloodshot. That was a very popular violent comic back in the 90s. And then, of course, it was just brought back recently. Yeah, no, I'm not dying. Not dying at all. So, I did put a link on my Facebook page of the What Are You Reading show where you can see a picture of the new live-action Bloodshot. I'm not really read much of Bloodshot, but yeah, he's always a cool character. So, whether it's going to be a good movie or not, we'll find out for sure. Some bad news for all you cartoon watchers. Adventure Time, a show that I admit I've never been able to get into myself personally, will come to an end in 2018. It's a dark day in the land of Ooh, as Cartoon Network announced this morning, that was a couple of days ago, that Adventure Time will end in 2018. Created by Pennington Ward, the acclaimed animated series launched in 2010, telling the animated adventures of Finn the Human, voiced by Jeremy Shea, and his best friend, adopted brother Jake the Dog, John DiMaggio, in the magical post-apocalyptic land of Ooh. Before the series ends with its ninth season, however, Cartoon Network will promise new episodes, miniseries, a special, and more, bringing the Adventure Time to 142 half-hour of content. The series has earned a cult-like following over the past eight seasons, to say nothing of six Primetime Emmy Awards. Jeez! A Peabody Award and two Annie Awards. In that time, it also inspired a comic book series, a video game, and plenty of merchandise, including apparel, a line of Doc Martin books, and a Lego set. Adventure Time was a passion project of the people and crew who poured their hearts into arts and stories. Ward said in a statement, "We tried to put into every episode something genuine and telling from our lives. It makes a show that was personal to us and had the jokes too. I'm really happy to connect it with an audience so long. It's a special thing, I think." Now, that was a Deadline article, but it was posted on CBR.com. So, my reason for never getting into Adventure Time was I couldn't get past the particular art style. That there's a lot of shows on TV today that particular art style to me just doesn't appeal to me in my old ass age. And I understand it. I don't put nobody down for liking it. People think it's, you know, there's a lot to it, and I get it, but it just was never for me. Maybe one day when I can't, I'm too old to get up and turn the channel and so on, then maybe I'll sit there and watch episodes and finally see what everybody came to enjoy about Adventure Time. And then I won't be so alone anymore. I don't know how many Adventure Time fans is in the chat room. But, couldn't tell you much about it. Now, you know, I try to stay away from the election, even though last week I did talk about how a superhero finally endorsed a candidate in Batman. Well, in this election period, you know, the alt-right, as they call it, has been busy on the internets and Twitter, and they adopted a cartoon character named Pepe the Frog as their mascot for what they're pushing. So now Pepe the Frog has been designated a hate symbol. I'm not going to get into it too much, but if you can search for Pepe the Frog, you'll find all kinds of images of this character and how he's being used in, you know, right-wing like hate groups like Nazis and skinheads and stuff like that. And so if you see the frog, you know what's going on. And if you agree with it, you know, that's on you. If You're not into that kind of stuff. Good for you. And you won't be surprised when you see it out there. Principal photography has ended on Justice League. So, according to Jason Momoa, Justice League has wrapped up filming. Let me read some of that article to you. So, Zack Snyder's Justice League has finished principal photography and now it's time for the cast and crew to celebrate. Star Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman in the Warner Brothers film, has marked the occasion today by posting a photo of himself on Instagram, where he expresses regret for not being able to attend tonight's wrap party. Justice League has been filming in London since April. Well, I have to revise that. They might not be done filming totally. If they wrapped in London, I don't know if everything's being filmed in London. So right now we can assume maybe that means everything. I mean, the movie is coming out in a year or so, next year, I believe. But for now, they're done wrapping. If they're filming in other locations, then the total thing wouldn't be done. But I don't see why they would have a wrap party if they weren't done filming everything. It says, in the Justice League, Batman assembles a team of heroes to confront the threats to Earth posted by DC villains Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf is a dark side villain that didn't make it in the regular Batman vs. Superman cut, but he is in the extended version. He's the creature that Lex Luthor was seeing inside of the Kryptonian ship near the end. And they really shouldn't have cut that particular scene out, because it makes a lot more sense in the movie than it does without it. Now, the DC did try to drop like a deleted scene when the original movie came out. But if you didn't know who Steppenwolf is, and you didn't know that was Steppenwolf, that wouldn't have meant anything to you. And, you know, not everybody knows who Steppenwolf is, so they need to explain that. Now, everybody thought, of course, that it was going to be Darkseid he was going to go up against, but if DC plays the cards right, that's something you don't bring in Darkseid right away. You build up to Darkseid, just like Marvel was building up to Thanos. You know, they could have had Thanos in the first Avengers and shot their load, and then who would they have been fighting at this point? But, you know, now we got Thanos coming up. We all gearing up for it, because Thanos is going to bring the pain like no one else can. And when Darkseid shows up, he'll bring the pain. So, I don't know how most of you feel. Are you excited about a Justice League at this point, or you just think, I'll see it when I see it? There's a first look at the Justice Society here on DC's Legends of Tomorrow. There's a picture on, I get a lot of news from, this is from comicbook.com. They give you your first look at the Justice Society of America on DC Legends of Tomorrow. Now, the members of the Justice Society that's going to show up, and the Justice Society, if you don't know, that was the precursor to the Justice League back in the 40s, after all the different heroes came out and they wanted to do a team book. They created the Justice Society of America, and they had Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Hawkman, and all these other Golden Age characters. Of course, when the Silver Age came around in the 60s, you know, they created the Justice League to take the place of the Justice Society. And then they brought back the Justice League, the Justice Society later, and they put a lot of Golden Age characters and kept Batman and Superman on the Justice League. Of course, if you probably didn't know this, but the Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman of the Golden Age is not the same ones from the Silver Age. They're different characters. Now, in this version of Justice Society, you're going to have Stargirl, Obsidian, Commander Steel, Vixen. Vixen has shown up in her own cartoon on CWC, and she's also getting a season 2 about to come out. The only thing I didn't like about the Vixen from season one is that they were too short. They were like 3 to 5 minutes long, and I felt cheated those 6 episodes. Like, you watch the all 6 episodes, it's less than 30 minutes. And I thought they would have done a longer series. Maybe season two will give us more to it. But she did show up live action version on Arrow. So now she's going to be part of Legends of Tomorrow as part of the Justice League. And Hourman, who showed up at the end. I believe he showed up at the end of Legends Tomorrow. Warning the Legends of Tomorrow crew, don't get on that ship or you will die. You sent me the warning. And he told everybody he's from the Justice Society of America. Now, the Justice Society has been done on Smallville, so it's not the first time they've made this small screen appearance. But if you didn't watch Smallville, then you're getting a different version of the Justice Society people. Suicide Squad has now earned more money than Iron Man. And that makes a lot of people upset because a lot of people don't like Suicide Squad. Some people love Suicide Squad. I guess it's a 50-50 split on how people feel about Suicide Squad. I've said it before. I thought it was fun, but I definitely see all the big flaws in this movie. And DC have a lot to work on going forward. But, you know, it is what it is as far as Suicide Squad. Yeah, I can watch it again. I did watch it a couple of times already. And when it comes out, probably get a copy of it. I don't know if I'll rush out first day, but sure. But, you know, the significance of that is, now, the first Iron Man, you know, that was a movie that made over $300 million. So that's kind of like the barometer on films. If you can do better than the first Iron Man, you know... It's nothing to sneeze at. It's funny at the same time that Batman vs. Superman did better than the first Iron Man, but that's considered a flop because they was expecting that to do like Dark Knight money or Avengers money, and they came nowhere near that because once word of mouth got out that the movie wasn't that good, spread fast. And these movies aren't that far apart, but one's considered more of a hit and the other is considered a miss. Funny. Both movies made a lot of money, and I don't have none of it in my pocket, so I don't know why I would get happy or sad about either one of them. And neither should you people listening out there. You shouldn't give a damn. If you enjoyed the movie, that's fine. Don't take any joy or heartache on how much money these movies make, because we ain't making a dime on it. If I made money, if I had money, had skin in the game, was making money, yes, I wouldn't mind. So, for all you Arrow fans, the 100 episodes going to have some special guest stars. Who would have thought that Arrow would last this long to get 100 episodes? And now it's already in syndication. I saw it on TNT the other day. So, you know, usually when a show makes 100 episodes, it automatically goes into syndication. Some shows don't need to get 100 episodes before it goes to syndication, but Arrow, going into its 5th season, is already in syndication. So, if you didn't watch some of those first seasons, you can catch them on other networks, mainly TNT. More Black Panther news. There's a casting of... I can't get all these fake over African names right. M'Baku is being played by Winston Duke. He's a person of interest, and he will play one of T'Challa's biggest rivals. And Ryan Coogler's Black Panther, I think he's playing a white ape. White ape is like a you know, countryman that's a main rival to the Black Panther. He thinks he should be ruling Wakanda, and you know, the Black Panthers have always had trouble defeating the White Ape for various reasons. Now, I talked about Misty Knight appearing in Luke Cage, where it turns out she's also going to be in the Defenders. Now, the Misty Knight we know and love today you know, her whole deal is, you know, she's a hero for hire and she's a daughter of the dragon. She knows martial arts and she has a bionic arm. Now, they kind of do something in Luke Cage and maybe she might show up with a bionic arm in the Defenders. I don't know for sure because they didn't make it totally clear. And so if you figure Misty Knight's going to show up and her partner Colin Wing is going to be part of Iron Fist, she should probably be part of the Defenders too. So you're getting the whole Heroes for Hire crew teaming up with Daredevil and Jessica Jones to become the Defenders. Now, I wish they wouldn't call this show The Defenders, because The Defenders, to me, is the Silver Surfer and Doctor Strange and the Hawk and the Submariner. But they're using it for this Netflix series. And I guess they figure Heroes for Hire wouldn't go over well. And maybe they're right. And maybe, you know, they want to make The Defenders more of a street-level series. I've been talking about Lost in Space and some of the casting members. There's a new one. Molly Parker has been casting it for the Netflix series Lost in Space. She's going to play. Hold on. I thought I could read it without opening it up, but just give me a second. See if I had somebody helping me out, it'd be easier. All right, so she's going to play Maureen Robinson, who is the mother on the ship. She was kind of young to play the mother. I've explained it before, so I'll do it real quick. It's about a family who gets lost in space because their ship is sabotaged by this evil person that's supposed to be helping them. And so they wander off from planet to planet with no way of getting back to Earth without, you know, and being lost in space, you know, you have trouble finding food, finding compatible places to breathe air, you know, you can't stay on the ship all the time. And, you know, it's hard finding a planet with the right atmosphere and, you know, that's not too dangerous for them to live on, and then finding adequate food and water for them to survive. So that, of course, makes being lost in space hard. You know, you could be lost on an island and you could find food and water. But, you know, in space, and you've not explored space, and you don't know one planet from another, you know, you could land on a planet that's just toxic to humans, and where the food's just all poison. You could end up with a place where there's, like, you know, the aliens spitting acid at you. You never know. It's all, that's the other thing, you know, you don't know what aliens you run into, how hostile they are. And, you know, in the old episode, they would run into hostile aliens all the time and being in danger, but not in the danger that they wasn't going to get out of by the end of an episode or two. So. Now, you know, we get adaptations to movies to a lot of different toy and video game products. Some of them work. We haven't had many video game adaptations work. Some of the toy products have seemed to work a bit better. I don't know how y'all felt about the Angry Birds movies. Some people liked it, some people didn't. People love the Lego movie. And, you know, with that success, you know more is coming down the track. There's a Troll movie coming out in a couple of months. Whether that's going to be good or not, who knows. Don't worry, you'll get a Barbie movie soon. And then, you know, G.I. Joe, that's a different thing altogether. But Hot Wheels, people, who played Hot Wheels growing up? I mean, who had the Hot Wheels track? I loved Hot Wheels when I was a kid. I had different cars, I had broken tracks, and then I had friends with complete tracks and I envied them. And I had friends with the toy thing that was the gas station that made the cars go fast, where I had to push mine by hand. It wasn't fun, but you know, that's what happens when you grow up without having everything. Well, there's gonna be a Hot Wheels movie, and you can blame Fast and Furious because the Fast and Furious director Justin Lin's gonna be It says Highway movie scores Fast and Furious director Justin Lin. So he knows about cars and he knows how to make them go fast. So now he's gonna do it about Hot Wheels. Now we've had Speed Racer and as a movie, and that didn't work out so well. That was by the Wachowski brothers. But Justin Lin knows his cars. Now how he takes this Hot Wheels, whether it's over the top. Fast and Furious is a pretty over the top series. But it's not done for laughs, even though it's over the top. It's more like superheroes for cars. So it's going to be curious how he does Hot Wheels. Anybody interested in Hot Wheels? Is it something you've been wanting? Or you figure, who gives a damn? Little homie, I'm not using a racist term. He is a white ape. You know, they are apes that are white, and that's what they call them. Now, you may think that particular character are racist, but there's a character that's an enemy to the Black Panther called White Ape. Stanley, you got to learn new jokes. Black Panther Lives Matter. Come on now. Anyway, enough with the chat room. I'll be back to you with you guys in a second. Any Lion King fans out there? I don't know if I talked about this last week or not. I could have, but if I didn't. The Lion King is going to be a live-action movie directed by Jon Favreau. Now, after Jungle Book came out with such a huge success this summer, Disney wasn't going to stop there. You know, they have the technology to make animals talk and walk and communicate with each other. And The Lion King is a very popular movie and a popular stage play. And now they're going to bring it to live action. Simba and his crew is going to be seen like never before. I know a lot of people, you know, to some people, Lion King is a very controversial movie. And others, they just love it. I kind of like it. Even though I knew from the beginning that the Lion King is just a ripoff of Kimba the White Lion, which is a Japanese anime. It says it is after a surprising tweet from director early this morning. Walt Disney Studios confirmed that the director Jon Favreau was putting a new reimagining of The Lion King onto fast track to production. The Lion King moves following the technology groundbreaking smash The Jungle Book, directed by Favreau. And so he did both movies, so you know what he's doing. Which debuted in April and has earned $965.8 million worldwide. The Lion King builds on Disney's successful reimagining its classic for contemporary audience with Maleficent, Cinderella and the Jungle Book. The upcoming Beauty the Beast starring Emma Watson as Belle is already one of the most anticipated movies of 2007. Like Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King will include songs for the animated film. Disney and Favreau also is in development for a sequel for The Jungle Book. No release date has been announced for either film. So, Hakuna Matata, people. Jungle Book. Yes, this is an amazing movie to watch. I don't know how it's going to look on the small screen, but on the big screen, especially in IMAX, it looked fantastic. The Jungle Book, Lion King should be a pretty good movie if it's done right. Maybe they could change a few things if they could flatten out, you know, some of the things that upset people with the original one. Not many people. Cause, you know, it made a lot of money for a 2D animated feature. And maybe it takes out some of the stereotypes of the hyenas and Scar and so forth. Cause that's what a lot of people, some of the people complained about, you know. The way Scar acted as a villain and the way the hyenas were voiced by blacks and Latinos. And we'll see what they do. And we'll see if they bring back anybody from the original movie to voice acting and this reimagining of The Lion King. Almost done. Let's see. Did I talk about this yet? Let me check the date. Yeah, that's an old story. I think The Lion King was an old story, so yeah, sorry about that. That's what happens when I don't have backup on the show. I'm surprised no one's started a petition yet. So, I think we're done with the news. I don't know anything that's relevant for me to talk about. And I don't want to hold you up on a Sunday evening, you know. People getting their dinner ready. Getting that big Sunday dinner. One thing I want to talk about real quick. Famous artist George Perez. One of his police sketches will appear in Arrow Season 5 premiere. George Perez, he's famous for a lot of books like Justice League, Avengers, Bleed Teen Titans, X-Men. He's worked on everything. The Hulk. If you've read comic books in the last 20 or so years, you've seen his work. And he's written some books too, I believe. So, look for that. Legends of Tomorrow Obsidian is going to be Green Lantern's son, according to reports on CBR. And the last thing to talk about, they have announced the next Star Wars movies to come out. Now, I'm kind of excited for this new Star Wars coming out in December. So Star Wars, here when the next five movies will be released. Rogue One, which is of course coming out in December. That's going to be released on December 16th. Star Wars Episode 8 will be released in May 2017. That's unusual. Now, it's going to be, sorry, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. It's going to be December 15th. It was supposed to come out May of 17. But the reason why I said that's going to be unusual, because this is usually a Marvel film in May. And both a Marvel film and a Star Wars film came out at the same time. You definitely would get them cannibalizing each other as far as the profits. And they all work for the same mouse, and they don't want that. The Star Wars anthology, which is going to be the Solo star, Han Solo movie of his younger stories. That's coming out May 25th, 2018. And they probably figured that won't be as big of a Star Wars movie, so they don't mind putting it out in the same month as a Marvel film. And it's going to be a smaller film. They don't expect Rogue One to make as much as Force Awakens, and they shouldn't. You know, coming out with a Star Wars movie a year, everybody is not going to keep up like that. Now, the hardcore fans, yes, they will be there this December and every year Star Wars film come out. Now, the casual fan, they'll pick and choose. They'll definitely probably go see, like, the core Star Wars chapters. But these side stories, yeah, it depends on what they're, you know, looking for. Now, Episode 9 hasn't been given a date, but it will come out in 2019. And the Boba Fett, they've been talking about that for years, doing a Boba Fett movie. That's going to come out in 2020. That's reported. There's no set date or time. Some of these movies don't have writers or directors yet. Some of them do. And some of them don't have actors. The Han Solo Solo movie does have actors playing a young Han Solo. And of course, episode 8, you know, that's going to star Mark Hamill and the new ones, Daisy Ridley and Oscar Isaac and John Boyega. And that's all I have to say. So, without further ado, let me talk about some of the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio. Beginning this, well, next Sunday, I have bad news for y'all. No show next week because Comic-Con is, New York Comic-Con is taking place. So, I won't be on the air. But we'll try to report on the news out of Comic-Con as soon as I can. I will post on the Facebook page, you know, some of the news coming out of Comic-Con that weekend while I'm attending. I don't know how, if I'm going to be able to do all 4 days. I hope I can. I wasn't able to do all 4 days last year because, you know, I got a little sick and I'm not all totally up to snuff. I don't know how I'm going to be feeling by this time next week, so... But I'm gonna Hillary Clinton that's out and try to soldier on as best I can to get you the news that you want out of Comic-Con. It's gonna be, you know, a fairly big Comic-Con. You know, New York gets bigger and bigger every year. And I don't know how many he's gonna attend Comic-Con, so but we'll be back in 2 weeks. I do believe there's a WWE pay-per-view next weekend. I'm not sure yet who's hosting the pre and post show. If we're having one, should be a SmackDown show. But keep your eyes posted to the Rant EM Facebook page for information on that. Every Tuesday is the Rant live at 8 p.m. Double A and Tony C. Now, there's supposed to be at 10 p.m. a prank call special. But some things are up in the air whether or not there's going to be an actual show this particular Tuesday because, you know, life gets in the way of a lot of things, and that's more important than podcasting from time to time. Even though some of us feel podcasting may be more important than life, it's not. But, you know, some of us enjoy doing podcasting. Some of us really appreciate those that take the time to listen live or in the downloads for these shows. And without you guys listening, wouldn't be no point in doing this. This Wednesday, everybody's been saying this, so I'm going to say it. A live action of Thumbstick Ninjas. And that's Rob Domingo and his crew. Thursdays is Rant and Wrestling with... Mofo and his crew. That's at 9 p.m. And then this Friday, of course, at 9 p.m., Turnbuckle Throwback with Phil and Kid Human. And then Saturday night, the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan and Mr. Hightower and other co-hosts and callers who were just get to conversation about wrestling and other sporting events that... you know, fancy. If you're into wrestling, I think Bound for Glory is supposed to be there. I don't know who gives a crap about that, but it could be TNA's last show. Who knows? So, on a last thought, I don't know who didn't care for what went on earlier on this show. Found it entertaining, okay. If you didn't, I apologize. Some things can't be helped. I try to keep things, you know, off the air so we can do a professional show, even though I'm far from a professional. But, you know, some things have to, some things just come out. And so everything that you heard today will be on for download. So, if you want to skip past that, I'll try to put in the show notes what time that particular thing is over. So if you don't want to listen to it when you're listening on download, you don't have to. And if you do want to listen to it, I hope I didn't make too much of a fool of myself, you know. And that's all I have to say. So I'm going to play us out with some music because Luke Cage, this is the Nas song that's part of the... trailer from the streets. So I'm going to play it and then you can go on with Sunday dinner and the rest of your day. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Peace. What happened?
Now let's get it all in perspective. For all y'all enjoyment, a song y'all can step with. Y'all appointed me to bring rap justice, but I ain't 5-0, y'all know it's Nas, yo. Grey Goose and a whole lot of only describe us as soldier survivors. Stay laced in the best, well dressed with finesse in the white tee, looking for white meat. The girl who fly and talk so nicely, put her in the coupe so she can feel the nice breeze. We could drive through the city, no doubt, but don't say my car's topless. Say the G, this is out. Newness, here's the anthem. Put your hand up that you wish with, count your loot with. Push the pool stick in your new crib, same hand that you hoop with. Swing around like you stupid. King of the town, yeah, I've been that. You know I where you and your men's at. Through the smurf, through the WAP baseball bat. Rooftop like we bringin' 88 back. I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money, playboy, your time's up. Where them gangsters, where them dimes at? I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money, playboy, your time's up. Where them gangsters at? Where them dimes at? This ain't rapping, this is street hop. Now get up off your head like your seat's hot. My lobs again lit up the trunk of the car, we got the. Don't start none, won't be none. No reason for your mans to panic. You don't wanna see no ambulances. Knock a pimp's drink down in his pimp cup. That's the way you get Timberland up. Let the music diffuse all attention. Ball of convention, free admission. Hustlers, dealers, and killers can move swift. Girls get close, you can feel where the kept. All my just coming homies, parolees. Get money, leave the beef alone slowly. Get out my face, you people so phony. Pull out my face. I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money, playboy, your time's up. Where them gangsters, where them dimes at? They I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money, playboy, your time's up. Where them gangsters at? Where them dimes at? I see ziggins running. Yo, my mood is real rude. I beat you out, show you what's do. Mobsters don't box my obliges. Every invitation to fight your punk asses. Like Punch said, you ain't even in me classa. Made batch bins, backseat, TV plasma. Ladies looking for athletes or rappers. Whatever you choose, whatever you do, make sure he a thug and intelligent too. Like a real thoroughbred is. Show me love, let me feel how to this. Females who's the sexiest is always the nastiest. And I like a little sassiness, a lot of class. Mommy reaching your bag, past the fifth. I'm a leader at last, it's a don you with. My non-spit, jigging blues consciousness.